You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
It's really unbelievable, right? Like, no sports going on. Well, not none. Obviously, we've got the PGA Tour in action. They are in Ohio right now for the Workday Charity Open. And it's the same Murfield Village, the same track that will be played next week for Memorial. We've got UFC 251 coming up. So, there will be there's some sports going on. But I mean, let's be honest, not a lot. And but yet still so much to dive into and so much to discuss. And it's pretty fascinating to me. So we've got, I'm coming to you live from the living room of my apartment. You may have heard my dogs just a second ago, and that is why they occasionally make an appearance on the show, and it is what it is. We've got Joel, who's back in the studio in New York. Kyrie and Jacob also working on the show. So we're with you for the next 3 hours. And we've got a fun show lined up for you. Mike Tannenbaum is going to join us in the first hour. A lot of, believe it or not, a lot of NFL talk. I know players aren't expected to arrive and start training camps until the end of this month. I want to say July 28th is the date. As of right now, that very well could change. You never know. But still, there's a lot going on. Jeremy Fowler had a poll out there. 50 executives, coaches, scouts, players, a plethora from each area was polled. Who's the top wide receivers, the top 10 wide receivers, who are the top 10 quarterbacks? And so we're going to dive into that specifically with Mike Tannenbaum. I found it interesting. Of course, we know this week, Patrick Mahomes got a big deal done and making him the highest paid, not only just the highest paid quarterback or highest paid football player in the NFL, but the highest paid athlete in the United States. In North America, which is really unbelievable. As we know, in the next 12 years is set to make over $500 million, which is remarkable. So, of course, you know, the conversation, all right, well, is Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback? And we're talking about, like, the best quarterback in the league today. Yeah, you could argue, well, no, Tom Brady's, we're not talking about the greatest of all time, if you do believe that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time, but we're talking about, like, the best quarterback today. Like, you're starting a team and you're able to pick one of the 32 quarterbacks and steal him from an organization or steal him from a team and then build your team around that quarterback. Who's the quarterback that you're going to take? Many people would say Patrick Mahomes. Some people actually would say Lamar Jackson. I would take Patrick Mahomes as much as I love. If you know anything about me, you listen to my weekend shows. First of all, I'm a fan of both quarterbacks. I think both quarterbacks are great. I loved both of them coming out of college. I felt that Lamar Jackson should have been the first quarterback taken, sure enough. And it's one of those things, like, everything happens for a reason in life. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Like, I'm sure Lamar was pretty disappointed that he wasn't, like, the first, second, or third quarterback taken off the board. As we know, Baker, Sam, Josh Allen, and he fell, and then the Ravens traded back into the bottom of the first round to get him. And look what the Ravens did. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly who they were drafting. You know, they're not drafting, a circle trying to fit into a square. They drafted Lamar Jackson, a very special, unique, athletic talent with a skill set better than most, and said, okay, we're drafting him. We have to be committed to building an offense around him. And that's exactly what the Baltimore Ravens did. You can't honestly sit here and tell me that that's what Cleveland would have done, or the Jets would have done, or the Bills would have done. I don't think so. Or Miami. I don't think so. So, I'm a true believer in life. You might, at one point, you might be disappointed about the way a certain situation works out for you. But at the end of the day, whether it's God, higher power, whatever it is that drives you, has a plan, destiny, right? Destiny has a plan for you. And I feel Lamar Jackson was destined to go to the Baltimore Ravens, and what they've been able to do and build around him has been remarkable. You have to give the Ravens as much credit for what they've been able to create around Lamar Jackson as Lamar Jackson as an athlete. So with that being said, I would probably take Patrick Mahomes, but Mike Tannenbaum was on GetUp earlier today, And Joel, if you could cue it up. So they were talking about the top quarterbacks. So obviously the top quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz. But there was one quarterback in particular that Mike Tannenbaum came up with, the guy that he'd rather have at the helm for him. Let's listen in.
Oh, it's easy. It's Dak Prescott. There's two quarterbacks on the planet that in their first 4 years threw for 15,000 yards and won 40 games. One guy, as Des laid to earlier, Dan Marino, and Dak Prescott. He's going to be 27, never missed a game. And since they have Amari Cooper, they've had the first offense in the NFL since 2018. So Jerry Jones, get ready to pay up. He is the next best player for the next 10 years after Patrick Mahomes.
So we're going to have Mike Tannenbaum on the show coming up in a few minutes to talk about his Dak Prescott. I don't even think Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the NFC East. I think Carson Wentz is. And Giants fans, there's a chance that in the next 3 to 5 years, it could be Daniel Jones. I would rather have Carson Wentz right now, or as an organization, invest in the potential and where the ceiling might be for Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott. I really would. So I'm fascinated by Mike Tannenbaum's comments, and I'm excited to have him on the show coming up in about 20 minutes to dive into that. Also, top wide receivers, top 10 wide receivers. Again, Jeremy Fowler, poll taken with 50 executives, coaches, scouts, players, and it ended up as Julio Jones being number one, the number one wide receiver. Again, we're talking about today. Some other ones that were on the list: Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr., of course, Deshaun Watson, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen. For me, it's Michael Thomas. In regard to the if I was starting a league, if I was starting a team, and I could pick one wide receiver off of any of the 32 teams, that's who it would be. So I would want to start a team with Patrick Mahomes and Michael Thomas over anyone else. So we're going to dive into that. Also, some reports out there that the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers are interested in Jamal Adams. So Mike Tannenbaum, former executive, will find out if he's Joe D. What would he do in that regard? And another phone call today took place with the NFL and the NFLPA on Zoom. And keep in mind, the NFL and NFLPA are trying to work out certain details of player safety and how they're going to really begin training camp. What's going to be expected? How are players going to be safe? You know, some of the rules I kind of joked about it yesterday. One of the rules that the NFL put out was that no exchanging jerseys after games. Meanwhile, you're not going to be allowed to exchange a jersey after a game, but all that goes on during the four quarters in regard to bodily fluids that are going to be exchanged, that's okay, but you're worried about exchanging jerseys. It's just wild to me. But here, Jeremy Fowler was on SportsCenter. So the two, NFL and the NFLPA, are going back and forth. I personally do not believe or feel that the end of this month is a realistic date for training camps to open. Like, for example, in regard to how fair the equal playing field it will be for these teams, you know, we here in New Jersey and New York, we're above the curve, like in regard to, well, I should say, like, we're below the curve, right? We're below the curve in regard to coronavirus and how we are handling it. We're on the downtick, right? Where other states, obviously Florida, Arizona, Atlanta now is back to phase one. They've shut down again. It's a hot mess across the country. New York and New Jersey are doing okay. So Governor Murphy and Governor Cuomo came out and said that Jets, Giants, and Bills players would not have to quarantine before training camps open up. Now, of course, if a player is coming in from another state, that's a hot state, and there's quite a few, then yes, that player would have to arrive here 14 days before training camp opens and quarantine. But if a player has been in the New York, New Jersey area, then they don't have to quarantine, where, you know, other teams, it's not the case. And other teams that are going to be having training camps at their own facilities in hotspots, whole list in regard to, you know, what their governments are instilling and how they have to go through day-to-day operations is going to be very different than obviously the Jets, the Giants, and the Bills having the luxury of, believe it or not, New York and New Jersey getting hit first, getting hit hard. We lived in a petri dish for 3 months. We learned our lesson. Our government did majority of the right things, and you know, we're really the safest place in the country right now. And so our sports teams are benefiting from that. Here's Jeremy Fowler on SportsCenter talking about the NFL and the players' union and what they want.
Really, they've prioritized three objectives here. They want daily testing at training camp, which the league has not approved yet. They want no preseason games, which the league has not allowed yet. They want two games. And the players want an acclimation period of over a month so they can just get comfortable in that training camp environment and ramp up their conditioning. And so I'm told from a league source that they expect the two games to stand, but that there could be a concession on the way, whether it's the daily testing. But this has really been a negotiation each week to try to figure out that sweet spot. They're in that process of that now. They could figure out the preseason games here in the next day or two, I'm told.
Again, NFL players don't want any preseason games. I don't blame them. Kind of similar to my thought process in regard to the NFL, the NBA bubble. I don't know why we're playing any more regular season games. I think the bubble should just be strictly the season, where the season ended. Pick your top 16 teams. Those are your teams. Advance, take them to the bubble. Why take 22 teams to the bubble? More threat, more risk of a player or two stepping out, not abiding by the rules, and potentially coming back into the bubble with the virus and infecting everyone. So anyway, I think having games outside of the playoffs for the NBA is not wise. And I don't think in NFL teams having preseason games that don't matter for a season, considering how serious of the situation is in regard to COVID-19, should exist either. So we'll see what happens there. Does the NFL, PA, and the players win this? We'll see what happens. I think it would be wise for both to just 86 cancel all preseason games and move from there. But we'll see what happens. Also yesterday, there's reports out there that the NFL and the owners are asking the players that 35% of their salaries be put in escrow, because they don't know how the season is going to advance. They don't know what type of financial hit that they're going to take. No fans, some teams. The Jags today came out and said that their home games in Jackson, which, by the way, can we just marinate in this for a minute? Florida is a hot spot. But the Jacksonville Jaguars came out today and said that they're going to have 25% capacity for their home games as long as they wear masks. And this isn't even like, it'd be one thing if like the Giants or the Jets said it, because New Jersey and New York are in a better place than most other states in the country. But a hot spot, especially Jacksonville, a hot spot state, and their team coming out and saying, oh yeah, we're still going to have fans, 25%. Just make sure you bring your mask. So, it just really a wild time. And it really is. Also, some news on the college football front. And that is the Pac-10 and I'm sorry, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have said that they are only going to play in conference games. So that's going to be very, very interesting. In regard to, so if the Big Ten's going to only play in conference, Pac-12, which, by the way, Notre Dame gets royally screwed here because they lose the Wisconsin game, they lose the Stanford game, and they lose the USC game. So how's there going to be a college, here's the thing, let me rewind. I do not believe there's going to be a college football season. I understand that there has to. It's all about the money. I get that. I just don't think it's wise. You know, you've got Adam Silver worried about grown men, professional athletes, abiding by the rules, making sure everybody stays safe in that bubble, let alone 18, 19, 20-year-old kids being quarantined, wearing masks at their college, at their university. I don't see it happening. But anyway, if it does, we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, how do you crown a college football champion if they're only playing in conference games? How's that going to work out? Paul Feinbaum on Get Up earlier today.
And one thing I would like to hear Kevin Warren or Greg Sankey or any of these commissioners say to you or me or anyone else, forget talking about whether, you know, we will play a college football season. Give us a reason why you should play a college football season. Tell us why it's worth all this effort. By the way, you're not allowed to say, if we don't play, we'll go broke. That's what this is about. This is a money grab, because I think if money was not an issue, that some of these decisions would have already been made, like what they did up in the Ivy League. Right now, this is a house of cards, and you know whether Joey thinks we're being negative or not. He did say one thing that was accurate: the numbers are spiking all over the country, especially in the South, in Florida. You can just look up and down the news channels for this, mm-hmm. and it's a serious, serious problem.
Again, Paul Feinbaum on Get Up, and last but not least, news item today is Giants catcher Buster Posey has decided that he's going to opt out this year for Major League Baseball. He apparently just recently adopted two twin girls, and he's worried about his family and their safety and not wanting them to contract COVID. So he's another player now, and everybody's kind of waiting to hear what happens with Mike Trout. Mike Trout, his wife, she's pregnant. She's expecting. So there very well could be some other big name Major League Baseball players that will not participate in the 2020 season. Here's an interesting story, side note, by the way, that I came across. So Travis Shaw, who plays for Toronto, apparently the Toronto players are going to have to are staying in a hotel that's connected to the Rogers Center, their stadium. Now, keep in mind, Canada, 107,000 confirmed COVID cases, 8,758 deaths. Canada, okay, the entire country of Canada, compared to the United States, where we have over 3 million confirmed cases and over 130,000 deaths here in the United States. So obviously, Canada's doing it right. For whatever reason, you want to put your finger on, we're doing it wrong. So now with Toronto playing in Major League Baseball, they have to abide by a different set of rules in Canada than, of course, here in the United States. So players have to be quarantined to their hotel. If they do leave their hotel, they break their quarantine, they potentially could be fined $550,000 and also spend 6 months in jail. So, and this is the situation right now. Shaw said, oh, wait a minute. This might be the situation right now. This can't be the situation for the entire season. But a lot of that is going to be dictated by the government there. And a lot of it as well as, you know, Toronto and their travel schedule. So it's really, really a wild time. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back. 800-919-3776. I do want to come back. I want to talk about some of the NFL storyline, specifically the quarterback, top 10 quarterbacks. Because Mike Tannenbaum is going to join us at 7:30 with his take on who he would select if he was starting a franchise.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, my. So Jeremy Fowler, if you're just tuning in, Jeremy Fowler, 50 executives, coaches, scouts, players, took a poll, top 10 quarterbacks. The debate between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, one or two. But, boy, Mike Tannenbaum comes in and throws one. Mike, why Dak Prescott?
Well, let's make sure that your dogs are okay and none of that coffee spilled on them.
Well, I drink iced, so no, it did not spill on them, thank God. And if it did, it wasn't hot coffee. It was I like the iced lattes, but thank you.
Okay, good. So just to really expand on what I said before, Anita, which is here's a guy that has impeccable character, hasn't missed a game, was supposed to be holding the fort for Tony Romo, won a playoff game. He's won 40 games over 4 years. And since they acquired Amari Cooper, they've had the best offense in all of football. So I guess someone would have to tell me what I'm missing here. Why isn't he the best player for the next 10 years?
Here's the thing when it comes to Dak Prescott, and that is in looking at the stats, right? He doesn't, when it comes to win or losses, right? Like, he doesn't beat teams that have a 500 or better record unless Ezekiel Elliott is on the football field. It's like he's not, the thing with me is that I find it hard to see him as a quarterback who's going to win it without a 100-yard rusher in a game or without an Amari Cooper. Like, Dallas Cowboys really didn't turn around and start winning football games until the trade went down and they brought Amari Cooper in. I loved your analogy with Dan Marino. As you know, I'm from Miami, covered the Dolphins for 10 years, know Dan really well. People might not be aware of this. In all the years that Dan Marino played, he only had one 1,000-yard rusher in the backfield with him. One. That's it.
Right.
One.
Yep.
He never had a great rushing game. So defenses didn't have to play honest. So, that's my hang up with Dak. I mean, convince me otherwise, please.
Yeah, I just go again. They hit with the number one offense. It starts with your quarterback, and that defense has been average at best. So, we could certainly talk about the other side of the ball, but when you look at where the game's going, Anita, and he can make plays with his feet, put pressure on the defense. I really like his game. I don't think he has any holes in it. And I think Dallas is lucky to have him. And I think actions speak louder than words. If they were more worried about losing him, they weren't going to franchise him. So there's just, I think he checks every box. And I don't want to take anything away from, Lamar Jackson's upside or, the greatness of Deshaun Watson, or certainly, I love Russell Wilson as well. But for me, again, I go by winning, consistency, durability.
So, two-part question here. Number one, your thoughts on the Patrick Mahomes contract. And number two, where do you think, I guess the Cowboys have until Wednesday to try to work out a deal. If not, I guess Dak's going to have to play with a tag. But, where do you think Dak should fall in regard to the money that you think that should be negotiated for him?
So, it really comes down to not necessarily where he is in the ecosystem or the value of the player, in as much as it's the timing of things. So he'll slide in somewhere between Russell Wilson's 35 and Patrick Mahomes' $45 million per year. And again, we could see in debate, is he the second best quarterback or not? But it's supply and demand, and it's his turn to get paid. And he'll be $31 million this year. And if not, he'll just play it out. So I think he's in from an enormous position of strength. He's over the hump as it relates to leverage and risk. And, he's doing, from a very strong side of the table.
Again, Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Some other news in around the NFL, Mike. The NFL and NFLPA had a Zoom call today, late this afternoon, and trending on Twitter. I follow a few agents. They don't seem very optimistic that the NFLPA and the NFL are on the same page in regard to player safety. Nate Solder, who plays left tackle, as you know, for the Giants, he had this tweet: if the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there's no football in 2020. It's just that simple. What are you hearing? What do you know in regard to the discussions and I'm sure they are negotiations, and I'm fascinated in how I think in all sports, right? Like NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, I just think it's got to be so difficult right now, right? To keep all these players healthy and safe. Times 10 when it comes to the NFL, in regard to the sport and the contact and the physicality of it all. Like, what are you hearing in regard to how the season could really happen, Mike?
One of the things that I'm hearing is this whole notion of rotational squads in the preseason training camp, meaning they have offense in the building in the morning, defense in virtual meetings, and then vice versa in the afternoon. the reality is that the buildings just aren't designed or set up for social distancing and keeping people 6 feet away from one another, especially when you talk about 80 and 90 man rosters. So there will have to be compromises. I'm sure we'll get there. These things never go as quick or as easy as you hope, but it's in everyone's collective best interest to get things resolved.
Do you really, I mean, Mike, do you really think that, let me ask you, I'm sure that they will try to have a season. Do you think a season will be complete?
You know, I think an underrated, underreported aspect of what's going on is when we think about the Super Bowl in Tampa, which could be played all the way into late February, early March. And I think that's important because let's say we start on October 1st and we could go through and play a 14-game season, maybe eliminate the Pro Bowl, and now all of a sudden we're into the period of time where everyone feels like it should be reasonable that we have a vaccine and hopefully we're back to, you know, some semblance of normal. So I think from that standpoint, the league does have some flexibility. And my gut is we start on time, but if it was delayed, I wouldn't be shocked either.
For sure. One more thing I'd like to discuss with you, and then you could hopefully start your fantastic weekend, as fantastic as a weekend could be in this environment. But Jamal Adams, you know, a lot of talk the past few weeks in regard to his camp trying to work out a trade, wanting to not play for the Jets any longer. Today, reports are that both Seattle and the San Francisco 49ers are interested. If you're Joe D and you have a player that you feel, and there's some reports that there are a number of people there at the Jets facility, just don't feel that in his heart of all hearts that Jamal Adams wants to be a Jet or wants to play. And obviously if his camp is requesting that they try to go out there and work out a trade deal to help the Jets trade him, then obviously that must be the case. You know, how do you handle something like this when you've got a player that you feel really doesn't want to be a part of your organization?
So a couple of thoughts. First of all, you want to gain as much equity in the relationship as possible and sit down and have hard and meaningful conversations. And it starts with that, look, we can't pay everybody what they want when they want. And even though Jerry Jones paid Zeke Elliott last year when there's three years into his career, we're not going to do that. With that said, that doesn't mean we don't care deeply about you, or you know, you're obviously a great player. So we expect you to be here, honor your contract, and play. And when you have the privilege of sitting in those seats, you just can't please everybody every year. Not everyone's going to be paid exactly what they want. Not every coach is going to have the exact title they want or the same responsibilities that they want. And that's just the reality of it. Some of it becomes more public like it does now. But, you know, there's free agency, and at the appropriate time, you certainly can avail yourself to what free agency brings. But until then, you didn't want to take less signing bonus. You wanted to get what was commensurate to what was, you know, the right value for you. And we got years on the contract. And you paid the signing bonus, you received it, and you know that's the contract means something.
Mike, is part of this, he just plays the wrong position? You know, in talking to a number of general managers, you know, you don't pay a safety $18, $19, $20 million a year. You know, the selected spots are quarterback, left tackle, corner, and defensive end. So is a lot of it, like, you know, is it wise for a team to shell out $20 million a year for a safety?
Well, no, I don't think it is. You know, Eddie Jackson, about $16 million a year is at the high end of it. And I think that's really the, I wouldn't go much above that, if at all. And I think you're making a fair point, which is, you know, there's certain positions you pay and certain ones you don't. So I don't think you pay him now just because of years left on his contract. And then when you delve into it, you have to make these decisions. And we talked about this earlier on GetUp, which is, where's that money going to come from? What positions are you going to take it from?
It's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. Mike, I really, really do appreciate your time this evening, especially on a Friday night. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you. You too. I really appreciate you having me.
You got it. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. When we get back, Le'Veon Bell. Was Le'Veon on the K Show?
On Hot 97 with Peter Rosenberg and Ebro.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so Le'Veon Bell was with Peter, I guess, earlier in the morning. because you know, he works 24 hours a day, and he had some things to say about the Jamal Adams situation. So we'll play clips from that when we get back. We'll open up the phone lines 800-919-377. Sorry, you heard it from Mike Tannenbaum. You know, somebody who's been there, done that, got the free T-shirt. And I've been saying it all along, you just don't pay a safety that kind of money. And where do you take it from? You know, you look around the league, you look at teams that you know, do well, win championships, make it to the playoffs, and look at their rosters. Look at where the majority of their salary is going. It's not to the safety position.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's take his call first, guys. AJ, welcome in.
How you doing, Anita? How you doing? Good afternoon.
Good evening. Good evening.
I just wanted to, because the last caller you had, Mike, the guy gave me a headache. He really didn't understand what you were trying to say. I believe Jamal does deserve a big contract. He is a top three safety. I mean, hands down, he's like the safety version. If you want to say Mahomes is the best quarterback, McCaffrey's a top two running back. Jamal is that, you know, he's in that category as far as his position is concerned. I think the Jets, they have the money. I think they should pay him.
But you just heard what Mike Tannenbaum said. You don't, here's the thing, AJ. A team that can afford to pay Jamal Adams is a team that has drafted exceptionally well and has very few needs and has a lot of salary cap. That is a team that can afford Jamal Adams. There's a specific team that can afford him. Do you understand? And still win. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't think, I mean, the Jets still have, the Jets, who's Sam Darnold throwing the ball to? Who's he going to, I would bet that this year the tight ends combined have more touchdown passes than the entire wide receiving core this year. If of course they both can stay healthy.
I agree.
So, I mean,
I agree.
But I appreciate your phone call, AJ. Thank you very much. The Jets just have so many needs. But that's the team that Jamal Adams needs to go to. A team that has drafted exceptionally well, where they still have a number of rookie players that are contributing, like immediately playing on rookie deals and have done really well in regard to free agency and how they're managing their cap, and has a quarterback that they're not paying $45 million to a year or $30 million a year. All right. So like I said, NFL agent David Cantor was on the call today. This is, you know what I love about this, Joel? This is like inside stuff. This is like we're bringing the listeners in. Like now, like we've got notes, you know, David Cantor was in the room when it happened. Oh my gosh. You ready? David Cantor was in the Zoom where it happened. The Zoom where it happened. The Zoom where it happened. No? You're not digging it? Joel, why are you so silent?
I'm looking for the cricket sound effects.
Okay. Do you know, so Hamilton, the room where it happened?
I actually didn't see it yet. I didn't have a chance to watch it this weekend. I know.
Disney Plus, folks. Hamilton. So there's this one scene where Hamilton negotiates for the capital of the United States to be in Washington as opposed to New York, so that he can oversee the treasury. And that song, Burr really wanted to be, Burr, who ended up killing Hamilton, really wanted to be in the room. And that song is, he really wanted to be in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room. So anyway, David Cantor was in the Zoom where it happened, the Zoom. Anyway, I thought I would just explain it. So maybe there's other people out there that would find it amusing. All right, let me get right to it. So here we go. Number one, notes on today's call. NFLPA did not agree to no jersey swap and did not agree on start date of training camp, but will most likely be July 28th unless you ended year with injury, and in that case, may report earlier. So the NFLPA did not agree to no jersey swap. Isn't that wild, Joel, that like the jersey swap is so important to these guys?
I mean, I understand like the outrage. It's like if we can tackle each other, but we can't. I understand. Like, yes, it's ridiculous that this is so important to them. But come on, if you're tackling each other, why can't you change? Why can't you swap jerseys?
Like,
though?
Why can't you just like, hey, dude, give me your phone number. I'll text you. You know, send me your, you know, email me your jersey.
Or do it on the download.
Like, why does the jersey swap have to happen on the field after the game? Like, it's so silly. This is silly.
It's the photo
silly.
Op. You got to love the photo op. You got to have something that they can post to the gram.
Yeah, it's the photo
afterwards.
Op. It's the jersey swap. It's the swag.
It's the
man cave. Oh, my gosh. It's so crazy. Also, very interesting. They have not agreed on the start date of training camp, which more than likely will be July 28th. NFLPA wants daily testing. The NFL wants every other day tests. You would imagine that the severity, the seriousness of this virus, that you would think that both the NFL and the NFLPA would be on the same page. That they want players tested every day. Unbelievable. Calendar of returning to work on and ramp up time not decided yet. And we heard that from Jeremy Fowler, right? Like, they want to be able to get, like, acclimated to, you know, the situation and how their new reality is going to be once they get back into camp. NFL would like players to sign a waiver, but they're not sure if it's going to be required. So I guess the NFL wants them to sign some kind of waiver that if they do get COVID-19 or... God forbid they get COVID-19. Somebody gets something serious. And like I said, you know, you lose a percentage of lung capacity and who knows, your NFL career is over. Then is the NFL held responsible for that? Here's another one. Will COVID be a football injury? Question mark. No answer as of yet. How could it not be an injury? Why wouldn't the NFL consider it an injury? Which, by the way, for all you, and I here's the thing, Joe. I feel really weird talking about fantasy football, in regard to COVID-19, right? But you know, that's something else. Like in regard to like fantasy football and how commissioners are going to have to handle roster situations in regard to ad drop, because. You know, what happens? I would imagine that on Sunday morning, all players are going to get tested. All players are going to have to get tested on Sunday morning or temperatures taken or what have you. So let's say, you know, God forbid, you've got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback for fantasy. And he's got a temperature of over 104 on game day. And they take him out of they bench him. Then what do you do? So fantasy sports, not just football, but fantasy sports in general, baseball, everything. Rules are going to have to change in regard to ad drop for fantasy. And again, I feel so, it just feels weird talking about fantasy football when it comes to COVID-19. I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult anyone or as if I'm taking this lightly. It's not the case. Will there be an opt out? No agreement yet. If season is canceled, there may be a stipend that they give the players. And if stipend is agreed upon, it is likely foregoing the possibility of the year's salary. Lost revenue is going to be deducted off salary cap, and there will be discussions on how it's spread out. So he said, basically, no news and no answers from the NFLPA.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
UFC 251, Chael Sonnen joins us now here on 98.7 ESPN. How you doing?
His private jet. Where would he come up on a private jet? Come on. My partner Ariel Helwani apparently will fall for anything. Private jet. I'm doing great. I'm sitting over here in my private yacht doing this interview. What do you mean private jet?
I love it. I love it. It in dramatic fashion, of course. I think the last time we spoke was on Daily Wager.
I think it was. It's nice to hear your voice, by the way. How's everything?
I say this. You have to preface, right? All things considered, I'm doing great. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for asking.
Let's talk all things considered. We get back to the UFC. You got any movie recommendations for me on a very serious note? I'm out of all options, I must tell you.
That's a great question. I'm waiting for Manhunter season 3 to start. I'm waiting for, I'm not really big into movies. Here's the thing. It's very interesting. Like, I feel like, you know, I get excited, like, hey, let's watch a movie. And then I sit down and I spend like 20, 25 minutes trying to look for a movie. Like nothing grabs me.
It's so funny you say it. So I do a movie every single day, and every day my wife wants
every
to
every day. How do you have time for a movie every day?
You know, I'm up till like 2 a.m. I'm such a night owl, and I only sleep about 3 or 4 hours. I hate to sleep, and so I always have some time for a movie. We turn a movie on every night. My wife falls asleep before the opening act, and then there I am stuck watching some romance when I could have been watching Manhunter.
So I'm not really into movies, but you know, I am in, you know, I watch a lot of Netflix. I have all the HBO Max, the Prime, all that, you know, Apple, all that. And I'm just, I feel like I'm waiting for the next best thing. You know, Manhunter 3, Handmaid's Tale, all that stuff. I'm just waiting for all that to drop. It's kind of where I'm at.
Hey, I like it. I just redid The Wire, by the way. Great show. All right, fine. Back to what you want to talk about.
So funny story. So I lived in Baltimore. So I grew up in Miami. And as a kid, Miami Vice was the hot show. And then I spent four years in Baltimore when The Wire was the hot show. I'm thinking about moving to Ozark. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Anyway, all right. Let's UFC 251, Usman and Masvidal. Now, I want to talk about Masvidal for a second, okay? Because first, I'm from Miami, so obviously, like, I'm a fan of his. I'm sure we have listeners out there that like aren't like huge UFC fans. But his story is very interesting in regard to how he got, like, he got found because a video was trending on social media, right?
Yeah. So, you know, you can really be two kinds of people, if you will, to compete in the UFC or in a mixed martial arts combat sport. And that is athlete or fighter. And Masvidal would very clearly represent the fighter category. So he made his debut, if you will, in the backyard in Miami, filmed on somebody's camcorder and lives today on something the kids call YouTube. He was 19 years old. He was having a hamburger at a fast food restaurant. His phone rings. He puts the hamburger down. He goes into his backyard, takes his shirt off, gets into a fist fight for $50. I'm not proud of any of that stuff, but it was a little bit of a different time back then, before the commissions, before this was a very real thing, particularly in that part of the world. He was in that neighborhood, and that's how he got his breakthrough. But that's very relevant to what we're seeing now. Even though he's got the glitz and the glamour, he only had 6 days' notice, 5 days until the weigh-in, which was today. Tomorrow will be day six. Had to fly halfway across the world, reacclimate himself, and he will take his shirt off, and he will get in a fist fight. He'll get a little more than $50, and there'll be something more than a camcorder. But yeah, I mean, I'm only offering that for you because this is not all that crazy for George Masvidal.
I think it is. I mean, a few things, like, keep in mind, like, all that has, so he has 6 days to prepare. Here's another thing. He had to lose 15 to 20 pounds in a week. First of all the women listening to this show want to know, how did he do that? How do you lose 15 to 20 pounds in a week? And my question to you is, how is that going to affect him as a fighter to lose that much weight in such a short period of time?
It won't hurt him in the least. I mean, I'm sure he was a little uncomfortable for the last 96 hours, but an average fighter would pull out, this might be a high side, but 20 pounds in about 24 hours. And they could definitely do 12 to 15 pounds in 3 to 4 hours. It starts to slow on those last 5 pounds greatly. But that would be very par for the course. I'm sure his opponent had to do the same thing. And I will remind you that up until about 24 months ago, Masvidal used to fight at 155 pounds. So he's actually 15 pounds heavier than the body of his career was. I think he probably made weight a little bit uncomfortably, but definitely without too many reservations.
And on top of that, he had to fly to Las Vegas, quarantine in Las Vegas, And then now I guess he's like, again, he's on his way to Abu Dhabi, which is quote unquote Fight Island, which by the way, I think is so cool. I love the name Fight Island, right? Like I think the NFL needs to take a page out of UFC, and I think they need to create NFL Island. Send all 32 teams, all their players, and have them just live on an island for 4 months and play out the season.
Oh, 100%. And I don't know if you've heard some of the things that are happening. And I also don't think Dana White knew what a wonderful marketing term Fight Island was going to be. And I had the same reaction as you did when I heard it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is fascinating. I tell me everything. And, you know, he kind of played it close to his vest, let the whole thing out. But I do agree with you. There's a way to do that. And Dana, just by example for this UFC, they have a 10-mile radius completely blocked off. Nobody can enter that radius. And I mean it from whoever's going to sweep up the building at the end of the night to the most fancy executive. Nobody enters that 10-mile radius without multiple tests every 3 days, a full quarantine, documentation of everything I just named. And then as soon as you compete, you're out the door and the next crew comes in. So there is a way to do it, but you got to be creative. And fortunately, Dana is.
So, Shale, has he told you what the cost in this is?
No, he has not. He has the only thing I know about that is what he has said very publicly, which is it's not cheap. He's left it at that with a little bit of a smirk. But, I mean, I'm sure we could all sit down and start to do the numbers. This is not easy. Don't forget, they're not fighting in an arena, by the way. They had to bring in absolutely everything, every camera, every satellite, everything. This place is not designed for any kind of sporting event to be put on the worldwide leader. They had to create it all.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the NBA bubble is costing the NBA $150 million, right? And that's not even, it's not even half the season. You know, it's just the tail end of the season and the playoffs. So I could only imagine.
Sure.
All right. So with all that being said, we just really broke down, all the trials and tribulations, all the hoops that Masvidal had to jump through to get to Abu Dhabi Fight. I just like saying it, Fight Island. Let's talk about Usman and what makes him so special and why is he favored?
Well, it's very nice that you say that, because all of the praise that Masvidal is getting for everything that he went through in the last 6 days, Usman agreed to all the same things. I mean, Usman wasn't planning on fighting Masvidal any more than Masvidal was planning on fighting Usman. Usman could have held out. Usman's the main event. Usman's the champion. Usman could have demanded all sorts of X, Y, and Z, different date, more money. He did none of those things. Usman does deserve all of the same praise. For whatever reason, it's going to Jorge Masvidal. But when you do talk about Usman, this is really a rare athlete. Put this in perspective for you, the greatest to have ever done it in our sport is without question, and that is a guy named George St. Pierre. There is never a time that you could argue, could somebody beat George St. Pierre without looking like a fool? You can make that argument for Usman. Now, you might lose the argument, but you could make the argument. That's how rare of an athlete he is. He's 16-1. He's won the world championship. He's beat 4 world champions. He won the Ultimate Fighter, which is the toughest tournament in all of sports. And I don't know why he doesn't get his credit. But there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on him tomorrow night, and this might be the moment that he finally gets his big reveal party.
Okay, so with that being said, I'm trying to call the odds up here. I don't know why my computer is not working with me.
3-1 favorite for Usman. 3-1.
Are you all over that?
No, I'm not. You know what? The odds makers have it right. This is just, it's a little bit too much to bite off for Masvidal. It's a little bit too much for anybody. I do believe that Masvidal is the rightful number one contender. I think there's probably an argument there of a couple of guys that, they'd have to fight that out and figure it out. But he's as good a choice as any. Usman has separated himself from the pack. That's just a reality. He's just a little bit better everywhere. He's in a little bit better shape. He did know about this fight. He did acclimate a little bit longer. And the weight cut was different. Now, I know 2 minutes ago I told you that wasn't a big deal. And it's not. We're splitting hairs. But this is a game of inches. And I think it would be hard to imagine that anybody, but we're talking Masvidal in this case, could win a single round right now against Usman, let alone a fight. For me, that would be a very big stretch.
Okay. So some other fights on this card. Max, is it Holloway against Alexander? I'm going to butcher it, right?
Give it a shot. Oh, I'd love to hear you try.
Okay.
Volkanovski.
Wait, you said you were going to give me a try.
You know, I sense some hesitation. I thought you didn't like the. I thought maybe you didn't like that.
I was gonna give it that old college try. But yeah, from what I understand, this is another good fight that's on the card. That's a must see.
I must tell you, it's a rematch. And what's interesting about this is Max had proclaimed or had been proclaimed by the media, both Sports Illustrated and ESPN, said, look, he's the greatest featherweight of all time. He got upset by Volkanovski. And not only was he upset, he lost 4 of the 5 rounds, according to the judges ringside. Now, I saw something different. I thought Max won the fight. When the fight concluded and they were getting the scores together and the announcer was getting to the ring, I thought they were going to say, and still world champion. Instead, they said, and new champion. Now, the relevance to that is Max did not even ask for the rematch. It was the new champion that went to Dana White, said, give me a rematch. Everybody's saying that he was robbed and I never should have got this. Give me one more time with this guy. I'm going to close the book on this guy once and for all. So that's what got us here. And there's not very many times in this sport that the winner challenges the guy he just beat, but that's what happened in this case.
Interesting. So you could get Max for +170.
I like that action. I thought Max beat him the first time. I think Max is going to beat him this time. I should disclose to you, for any new listeners, you want to know a way to make a lot of money in this sport, ask me who's going to win and then just blindly bet the opposite. I might be I might have the worst streak going, but I'm telling you, I think that Max beats him.
Okay. I could parlay those two, by the way. I could get Usman for -240 and Max for +170, and I could parlay them $100 to win $385.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of talking like a gal that's in Las Vegas, and I know you're not. I mean, do you know a guy? How are you exactly going to go parlay this, by the way? I mean, you have like a code and a phone number, knock on the door.
I'm in because of COVID-19, I broadcast from my apartment. I'm home. I'm in New Jersey. I'm on my website.
Oh, well, that's all you needed to say. Okay, I take it all back. Now I know how. Now I got it.
So
I get it now.
So let's throw one more. Before we let you go, let's throw one more fight in this parlay for me. Mama wants a new pair of shoes. One of my dogs wants a new bone. Give us another fight that you really, really like. Give us your best fight, your best bet.
All right,
give me the one fight you're like, hands down.
Give me another metaphor. Okay, hands down, I will tell you this. There's good money, and I'm going to go with the other championship fight, but Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo's one of the great fighters in history. He went 11 years undefeated until Conor McGregor surprised him, and Jose was even a 2-1 favorite that night. He's now dropped a weight class. He's taking on, and now here's the inside baseball on this. He's taking on a former training partner. So as feared as his opponent Peter Yan is, he's not feared by Aldo. They used to spar together, both of them, the coaches that were there and all the teammates that watched this for weeks and weeks, days and days, rounds and rounds, hours and hours. Jose Aldo didn't lose a single one to this guy. That was years ago. Peter Yan was about 21 years old. He's kind of coming into his own now at 25, 26. Aldo might be on the end of these things, but that's what's being factored in, and I don't know if I buy it, only because I'll personalize it and tell you, everybody that ever with me, even when I was a kid, I still don't want to see those guys to this day. There's something about that. You don't ever forget who the big brother is.
You've got Jose at +175. You got Peter, who, by the way, doesn't have an E in his. He spells his name Peter. Who does that?
Yes.
You want me to lay money on a dude who can't even spell his first name correctly?
Exactly. What is this, Petri? we got to change it, Petri. We can't call you Peter. It's Petri.
So he's -215. So who do you like here then?
He's a stud. I got to tell you, but I like Jose Aldo. They used to train together.
Wow. So now my parlay, my $100 parlay, turns into $1,000.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Max. I'm going with Usman, and I'm going with Jose, and I'm laying $100 to win $1,000.
I like it, girl. I like it. I'm telling you, that's what I would do. I'm not doing it, but it's what I would do.
What movie are you going to watch tonight?
You know, I'm probably going to watch Manhunter because you said it. I actually played along earlier like I knew what it was. I know what it is only through the commercials, but I've never actually tried it.
Time out. You have not watched the series Manhunter yet?
Nope. Nope. I haven't. And I've watched everything. But I'm going to try it tonight. You ask me this question tomorrow, I guarantee you I'm going to go watch it right now.
Here's the thing. You are not going to sleep. Let me just tell you really quick. Let me just tell you what this is about. Because I only have about a minute left in this segment. This is not a documentary. This is a series on Netflix. They have two seasons. And by the way, it's Mindhunter, not Manhunter, Mindhunter.
Oh, okay. Wait a second. You said man. Now I was going to say, is it similar to Mindhunter? Yes. That's
you have seen it.
Every Mindhunter.
Okay.
Everyone loved it. I stay up till midnight when it drops and bang it all out.
So I'm waiting for season three to drop.
Do you have a time frame? Is it even in the can, or do we have to wait till 2021?
No, I would imagine, like, because everybody is home right now, I think stuff is like on the, like, it's fast forwarding. I think stuff is dropping before we had a pandemic. I think the timeline is speeding up. Have you watched Ozark
everywhere? Oh yeah, love it. One of the great shows ever made.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we're done here.
I've had it with you. Go pet that dog for me.
There's five. Which one do you want me to pet?
Pet them all. I love dogs.
You got it. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the fight tomorrow. You rock.
I've had it with you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, there we go. How about that?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.